Are you managing your tasks? Is your to-do list too long? Are your expectations of yourself too high? Are you putting boundaries on the amount of work you're physically, mentally, and emotionally capable of doing in a period of time? I hear over and over from our clients that they're underestimating how much time it actually takes to accomplish something. Have you ever said to yourself, I don't have enough time?
I am so overwhelmed.
I need more clarity.
I don't know how to do this.
My to-do list is miles long.
I'm exhausted.
There's got to be a better way.
Hi there, I'm Brad.
And I'm Manette. Not only have we said all these things ourselves, but we've heard our community of creative entrepreneurs say them over and over again.
That's why we created the Structure and Flow podcast. I'm Structure.
And I'm Flo, and this is the Productivity Podcast for Creative Entrepreneurs.
We believe that doing more and working harder are not the solution to your productivity challenges.
We believe in more play, more fun, and more profit. Join us as we explore the interplay between structure and flow so that we can bring more grace and ease to your creative business. We need feedback from people before we're ready to do the book.
Like we need another distraction.
I know, it's so crazy. So
she just started talking about writing another book. Oh no.
Well, at least one, maybe two more.
I think we need to set boundaries around book project, any projects
what?
Like that.
You want to set boundaries around my creative projects? Are you crazy?
Welcome, folks, to another episode of Structure and Flow, the productivity podcast for creative entrepreneurs. Today, we are talking about setting clear boundaries, and apparently we're busting through that right away.
We are. Wow. This has been, you know, Brad started the recording. I didn't even know he started it. Telling me I can't write another book.
I'm sneaky.
He is very sneaky. So this is part three of our 9 pillars of productivity. It's episode 103. And I was telling Brad before he started the recording that I am loving digging into our 9 pillars of productivity and sharing this information with you guys. And in fact, one of our clients, Yolanda, the other day was like, oh my God, I love Structure and Flow. And she's nice. Kind of like me. She's a little bit over the top enthusiastic and effusive.
Yolanda?
And
no.
We love Yolanda. So thanks for being an awesome fan and listener of the Structure and Flow podcast, Yolanda. We so, so appreciate you. And I'm super excited that we're talking about boundaries today because I think it's something that entrepreneurs in general struggle with. It's something that often women historically tend to struggle with maybe a little more than men in workplace situations. And anybody that's in a caregiving role can really struggle with this. And I realize that as we talk through this, we're going to actually look at how boundaries impacts each of the 4 productivity styles today.
Yeah. And like the title said, I don't know if I read the title.
You did.
Setting clear boundaries can boost your productivity. And I think that's a key part that we're tying it to. Clearly, boundaries are important in lots of different ways. But as it relates to productivity, they can be pretty crucial.
You want to read the quote?
I do.
It's just for you, baby, because I know you love Warren Buffett.
Yeah. And Jimmy Buffett.
All the Buffets.
Jimmy Buffett calls Warren Uncle Warren, which I always thought was pretty funny. The difference between successful people and really successful people is that really successful people say no to almost everything. Warren Buffett.
I love that quote, and it reminds me of a book you gave me for Christmas years and years ago when I still had the publishing company about how CEOs of big companies organize and structure their time differently. I don't even remember the name of the book, but one of the things that has stayed with me, and that was probably a decade ago, but one of the things that stayed with me was that CEOs never have more than 3 things to do on their list every day. Their inbox, their physical inbox on their desk is empty, and their task list is empty because they know they're going to get interrupted, called into phone calls and meetings. But one of the things they do excel at is setting boundaries on mm-hmm. their time.
Oh, yeah. And for people at that level realize, well, they probably realized years ago that they have to do this. They physically cannot do their job without it. And I think we would posit that everybody needs to do it to a certain extent.
And yet it's hard, right? It's hard to say no. to people, especially if you're in our unique productivity style quiz, if you're a conductor and you're a caretaker and you love nurturing and moving and coordinating and taking care of people, it's extra hard.
So let's step back here and get some definitions
good.
In place.
I was going to do that. You beat me to it.
Okay. Minette, what is a boundary?
So there's actually two definitions of the concept of a boundary. The first one is a physical boundary, and literally it's a line that marks the limits of an area. So that might be the boundaries of a state. It might be the boundaries of your backyard that's marked by a fence. It might be a wall or between two cubicles. Those are all physical boundaries.
I'm going to date myself. It's like Les Nessman's fake office in WKRP in Cincinnati. he didn't actually have an office, but people had to come up and fake knock at his door.
Which is all about setting boundaries. Les Nessman was really good at setting boundaries. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I haven't thought about that show in forever. We used to love that show. Uh-huh. But then there's also what I would call a more mental or emotional boundary. And we're actually going to dive into these three types of boundaries a little bit more. But it's the limit of a subject or a sphere of activity. So it's putting a boundary around how we think about things, how we ask for support, right? Around the scope of a project. So putting boundaries around the scope of a project is really important for creatives. In fact, this morning I got right out of bed, made my coffee, and went straight to the canvas to work on a painting. Mm-hmm. And at some point I have to be done with the painting. And this is one I've been painting on for a long time, which is unusual for me. Usually I paint it and I'm kind of done.
Right.
And so there has to be some boundaries around my creative output, like we were jokingly talking about before we officially started the podcast, boundaries around your ideas. And we were out for a walk this morning and we have three funnels that all need upgrading. And I'm like, Brad, where do I put this information? How can I capture this? Because I tend to process a lot while we're walking and talk through a lot. So I instantly came home and put them in notes in Google Keep so that then Brad can, you know, actually put projects around them, because that's his brilliance, better than mine. So boundaries come up a lot in work in a bunch of different ways. And so just like we talked about when we talked about energy last week, there's different kinds of boundaries. So we're actually going to look at three kinds of boundaries today: mental, physical, and emotional.
Ah, let's look at physical. What have you got down here for physical? Are you letting others intrude on your physical space without permission? Well, Minette and I are pretty close here. So we don't actually have a little wall between us.
I think Brad likes recording the podcast just because we get to sit close.
That's right. Exactly. Whether that means closing a door or putting headphones on to signal you are in a focus block. That can be pretty critical when you need your quiet time, when you need your focus time. Do your kids know, like if you're working at home, do your kids know that or your spouse or significant other, do they know that that's your time, that it's not interrupted time? Do you turn off the ringer on your phone? Do you turn off the notifications on your phone? Those represent physical interruptions. A visual interruption is just the same as an auditory one, or somebody actually pushing up against you in your room, like a kid.
Yeah, gosh, I remember doing that. And even now, my office and / craft room are at the very front of the house. Everybody that comes in the front door, I see them. Anybody that's in the kitchen, it's a noise distraction or a physical distraction. And I'm easily distracted by people. Mm-hmm. And this is the creator mindset in the productivity style. But we're going to talk more about that. We're going to go briefly through these, and we're actually going to share some solutions for improving your boundaries in each of these three key areas.
Cats do not understand physical boundaries.
Or mental or emotional.
Cats will blow through any physical boundary. In fact, placing a physical boundary means that it's that cat's mission to go through it.
It is. Our cat was sound asleep in the window in my office, her favorite place, and her little cat tree. And as soon as I shut the door to Brad's office to do the recording, she was at the door meowing for attention. So I put her outside. I went and closed my daughter's window because she learned how to open my daughter's window so she could come in.
Physical boundaries.
Yes, yes. I was talking to one of my clients, to Cammie, yesterday. And we're talking, and all of a sudden she looks down and there's a little pause, like just trying to get her attention and bringing her toys. And
yeah.
Cats are not good at boundaries. That's so true.
Moving on to mental mental boundaries. What do you mean by mental boundaries?
So I would say that a mental boundary is about taking breaks. We talked about energy yesterday and how we need to be managing all the different kinds of energy. But it's also, are you managing your tasks? Is your to-do list too long? Are your expectations of yourself too high? Are you putting boundaries on the amount of work you're physically, mentally, and emotionally capable of doing in a period of time, whether that's an hour or a day or a week? And I hear over and over from our clients that they're underestimating how much time it actually takes to accomplish something. So are you conscious of your boundaries? Are you conscious of the amount of work that you're doing? As Brad tells me, I work too much. There's a lot to do right now and I love it. So it's easy to keep working and not put boundaries on. And as a commander, I have a real ability to just kind of muscle through, bulldoze through and keep going. And I forget that I need boundaries around my mental capacity so that I actually remember to shut down and take a break.
Gotcha. And then finally, we'll talk about emotional boundaries. And this is all about people. Are you overgiving of your time? Do you have boundaries related to the people around you? I think, who is our...
And this is family. This is...
Who's our archetype that struggles with this the most?
The conductor.
The conductor. Mm-hmm. And also from the creative business archetypes.
Yes. The creator also struggles with this because they love people so much, right? So they get really excited about being with people.
Right. And they want to give, which is phenomenal, but it can very quickly turn into something that's counterproductive to the point of you losing yourself in giving. And so I think that's where we're going with emotional boundaries.
Yeah. And this is the classic coach or caregiver or nurturing personality. This is not about gender, but it does tend to be about the actual work that you do. They tend to put themselves at the very bottom of their to-do list. So they don't have clear boundaries. A big example of this was one of our clients that we worked with who was a graphic designer, and she kept complaining that she wasn't getting enough uninterrupted creative time to do her work. And so I asked her to please do a time audit so I could really see what it was that was happening in her day. And it turned out that she had very poor boundaries around her response time to her clients and that she was wasting her entire day answering emails rather than batching her responses to emails into two or three times a day and then carving out some of these longer focus blocks like Brad has talked about to do the creative work. That's what she enjoys the most and what she gets paid for. But every time that email would flash across her screen, she would feel that pull and that need to respond instantly to her clients. It's a great example of a conductor who was overgiving of her time. Another classic example of this are coaches and consultants who go overtime on their sessions, or therapists as well will do this as well. Massage therapists. I've talked to massage therapists who consistently go over on the amount of time that they give during a massage, and yet they're not getting paid for that extra time. They're not charging for that time because they're the one choosing, so they don't feel like they can charge for it. So they don't have clear boundaries around time. And for me, they're coming from a really beautiful, heartfelt place. It's not like they're doing this intentionally to burn themselves out, but they're just intuitively feeling into this person needs more from me. And I find it's actually annoying and disrespectful when you don't respect other people's time boundaries, right? As a commander, I recognize that that's my feeling. But if you told me it's going to be an hour, then, you know, it's an hour. And if you think that I need more, ask me, because oftentimes we are booking appointments back to back to back. So being respectful of people's time is often a challenge, but it's such an important gift to understand. And I think it's part of this Warren Buffett idea. And there's many, many quotes around this. In fact, I think it was Gerald Jampolsky who wrote a whole book about the fear of saying no. Mm. And just really practicing not saying no from a place of lack of caring, but saying no from a place of respect for yourself.
Great. I see down here you've also got another type of emotional boundary are for folks that are highly sensitive, taking on what's happening around them, what's happening to people around them, taking on that emotion, sadness, grief, even happiness. I'm pretty sensitive person myself. And I can, that can do pretty bad things to me, when I let it. So it's definitely important to have some boundaries around that. I mean, we all need to be empathetic, but that can go too far.
Absolutely. So if you're highly intuitive, you have a lot of empathy, or you're the, you know, one of the terms, the words for that is being just highly sensitive, being an empath. And we've seen this happening with a couple of our family members where they worry about everything until they're exhausting themselves. And when you're worrying about other people's problems, it isn't really healthy for anybody, and it's not helpful or supportive for anybody. I even experienced a little bit of this myself yesterday morning. We have a 16-year-old daughter, and she was having kind of a typical 16-year-old meltdown moment, and it was heartbreaking to watch and to experience that. And I found myself feeling very sad, and feeling sad that she was sad, and yet it's her sadness, and it's okay for her to be sad. And I needed to sort of cut those emotional strings and just hold space for her, mm-hmm. with, you know, making it safe for her to feel sad without feeling like I had to share in that.
Yeah. And you don't have to be the ice queen.
No, you can... I'm definitely not an ice queen. I cry at the drop of a hat. Bagpipes.
Oh, don't talk to me about bagpipes.
And marching bands. I don't know why. Bagpipes and marching bands and you know, lovely commercials on TV. I tear up really easily.
All right. Back to boundaries and boosting our productivity. How can we create healthy boundaries that boost our productivity? Let's talk about the physical ones.
Okay. You want to talk about it? Or you want me to talk about it?
I want you to start.
You want me to start? I'm the one that wrote this morning. I sat down and kind of went blah.
I'll just sit here and tell her when she's wrong.
I thought you were going to say you're just going to sit there and look pretty.
No.
So managing physical boundaries to boost productivity is about managing both space and time. Something as simple as one of my clients that I worked with a while back was having trouble with her kids coming in and out of her office. And so it was a matter of just one. And then she was also having trouble shutting down at the end of the day. She wanted more quality time with her family, but she kept being pulled back into her office. So we had her daughter make an open close sign, a really fun, playful, creative one that she could hang on the outside of the office door. And if the office door was open, it was okay for her then to come in, for her kids to come into the office. But she also, at the end of the day, would put the close sign on, and she personally was not allowed to go back into her office because it was closed. She didn't need to be there. And then after the kids were in bed, if she chose to spend an hour, she could, but it was better off that she actually spent time with her husband. So that's an example of managing physical space. If you work in a co-working space or an open office at a big table with people, or Brad in the cubicle farm for years and years and years, you can use headphones as a physical boundary. Even if you're not listening to anything on the headphones, having the headphones in is a physical indicator to other people that you're focused. Brad has started shutting his office door when he's in a focus block. I don't have a door. Right. So, but he's learned to not just walk into my office, but to pretend knock.
That's right.
Like Les Nessman. And, you know, and I can say, I'm right in the middle of finishing this. I'll be with you in 5 minutes.
Or talk to the hand.
Yeah. Talk to the hand. The ears aren't listening. So, what movie was that from? That was the silly nanny lady, Fran Drescher, right?
God.
Talk to the hand. The ears aren't listening. But so setting up those physical boundaries is a lot about managing your own expectations as well as other people's expectations. It's simply saying nicely and kindly to people, I'm in a focus block right now and I need to maintain that focus. I'll be with you in X minutes. So people just want to get their needs met. They don't need them met immediately. And by you just simply saying, I'll be there in 5 or I'll be there in 10. And I've been doing this, I think, since our kids were little. You know, give me 30 minutes to finish this. Unfortunately, then, you know, Maggie would come back and say, Mom, you said an hour ago you were going to make dinner in 30 minutes and it's been an hour. Once your kids can tell time, it's all over.
That's right.
Throw the cat in the mix. And it's kind of crazy.
So these physical boundaries extend into the virtual world too.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, obviously, like we said, your notifications on your phone, on your desktop.
Reddit, turning your Reddit off.
I don't have notifications from Reddit. But for email especially, it's very easy to fall into the trap of responding immediately. We talked about that a little bit already. It's really important that people understand you train the people on the other end of the email that you respond at certain times during the day, and it could take you up to X hours to respond. I heard a great comment about, I can't remember who this was. Something. Anyways, when you look at your email, it represents things that other people want from you. Mm-hmm. And so this person's comment was, I thought it was well taken, was that that's secondary to what you want to do. Mm. I mean, yeah, I understand if you have a boss and their needs are more important than or that's your job. But for those of us that are entrepreneurs, all that stuff in your inbox, I mean, almost all of it is things that people want from you, not what you want to do.
And I wanted to mention clutter as well in this, right? So inbox clutter is one example mm-hmm. of clutter that's taking up time and attention. And then in episode 100, we also talked about environment as being the very first pillar. And so is clutter creating or impacting productivity in the workspace? That would be a physical example of setting boundaries. Like one of the ways that I'm letting other people encroach in my physical space that really ticks me off is when my daughter comes home and drops her giant backpack right in the middle of the space to get in and out of my office, right? And all the shoes are right outside that space. And then there's, like, the other day we had four teenagers here and everybody takes their shoes off in the door, which is awesome. I couldn't even walk out of my office because there was, like, this, you know, path of shoes there. So
I think you have a problem with boundaries.
Apparently I do. And so, and you know, kids are kids. They drop stuff everywhere. I certainly am not always great with physical boundaries. I tend to leave my shoes all over the house instead of right at the front door, or earrings. I get tired of wearing them and I take them off and there's earrings everywhere. You know, so there's definitely, Brad and I have very different thresholds about physical clutter mm-hmm. as well. And so learning to share, cooperate, and collaborate in creating productive physical workspaces is a really important part of boundaries. And each of the four productivity styles approaches that physical boundary differently. Like the commander doesn't necessarily even notice what's happening around them because they're focused on their tasks. The contemplator, the very cognitive style, they need everything to be really neat.
Right.
Like clutter, that visual clutter impacts them, whether that's on the screen or physical clutter really impacts them. I had a squirrel moment. There's a bird flying up under the eave of our house here outside our beautiful window.
Let's move on to mental boundaries.
Yeah.
Speaking of squirrels.
Awesome. You didn't let me go through the last two productivity styles, though, around physical boundaries.
Okay. We're not moving on to mental boundaries.
Yeah.
Yet.
So conductors, their physical boundary is making sure they have physical space and time away from people because they are so busy all the time nurturing and taking care of everybody. They forget that they need some quiet time. So a physical boundary for them is going up to their bedroom to meditate for 5 or 10 minutes. And then finally, the creator, they tend to invade everybody's space because they're people lovers, they're noisemakers, they're very charismatic, they're super creative, and their creativity can flow all over the house. So if you walk around my house, I've got art supplies pretty much in every room in the house except for Brad's office. So, you know, making sure that our productivity style isn't totally clashing with the people that we're living and working with is really important.
Sure. So in the last episode, we talked about renewal rituals and how important it is to take mental breaks during your work. I think that's a critical part of setting up mental boundaries. What else have we got here, Manette?
Well, this, as I said before, is about managing your tasks more effectively and your to-do list more effectively and making sure that you're not overburdening yourself by taking on tasks. that perhaps aren't even yours to do. This has a lot to do with, are you good at asking for support and mm-hmm. help from family, from coworkers, from colleagues, at hiring support? And in fact, in episode 104, which is the next episode, we're going to do a whole show on support and how support really is the key to massively increasing your productivity mm-hmm. and your momentum in your business. And we've been witnesses of that. The other thing I would say about mental boundaries is, how honest are you being with how you're spending your time? One of our favorite recommendations for our clients, and something that we have personally done ourselves a couple of different times, is a time audit. How are you spending your time? Are you overworking? Are you overly distracted? Are you so busy working on the little small things that you're not getting maybe to your most important work? So for me, those mental boundaries have a lot to do with how much we're taking on.
So these are internal things, whereas the physical stuff maybe more relates to external actors mm-hmm. impinging on the boundaries. It seems like the mental one is more an internalized thing, where your bad habits or life or whatever, you're letting it impinge, or giant to-do lists are impinging on your mental boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's a great perspective. I even wrote it down on my notes.
Ooh, I get a gold star today, I think.
Yeah, although I did write it in red. I don't know what that says, but
she doesn't like red pens.
I don't like red pens. As a former school teacher, red pens don't have a happy connotation for me, even though I adore the color red. So finally, let's talk about emotional boundaries. I think these are the trickiest for people to really manage. And emotional boundaries are the one where you're staking a claim on your time and on your emotional capacity for caring for others, where you're really creating opportunities to rest, to relax. We talked about this in relationship to energy, but the way to get to those ritual renewals faster is to set emotional boundaries around your time, the time that you're giving to other people, to projects, to volunteer. We see a lot of our clients overgiving, right? Also, perfectionism is an emotional boundary. We get so caught up in our limiting beliefs and the stories we're telling ourselves that we go into perfectionism, or I'm not good enough, or I can't get it going until it's perfect. And the truth is, if you wait till it's perfect, you'll never get it going. And so for me, those emotional boundaries are learning to say no when people ask you to do something that you don't want to do or that takes you off track from your most important work. And for example, right now, I spend a lot of time volunteering in the music program at my daughter's school, and they need a president of the board.
Just say no.
Just say no. I have been practicing, because when the kids were little, I said yes way too much. And I did too much volunteering when I was trying to grow my first business, volunteering in my community, volunteering at the kids' school. And so I'm getting really good at saying no, even though it would be really easy for me to say yes, because it's the kind of project that I really love. I love leading organizations like that. And I've led a lot of them in my time. But, and it's, so it's that emotional ego pull saying, you know, you could do this and you could do a great job, combined with the other side of the emotional pull, which is, oh, I wouldn't look forward to this. This isn't going to help me at all in my career. I'll go in and volunteer in the part that's going to most impact my daughter so that things get done beautifully and happily. So that's a boundary that I've set for myself. I don't need to run the organization. I can just show up and give the amount of time that I have available.
So I have a question for you. This came into my mind when you started talking about emotional boundaries. And I want to understand, maybe this is some mental and some emotional, but one of the things where being an entrepreneur has impacted me emotionally is tying the state of the business and the state of the business finances to my own well-being, or how I'm feeling that day. Because as entrepreneurs, y'all are out there, you know what it's like when you have lean months or lean years or whatever it is. You're not making the money that you want to make. And it can really impact your emotional state. And I know personally, I've had to shut that off. I've had to go and meditate. I've had to go and exercise, whatever it is. But I get to a point where I'm getting really stressed about it. And I realize that I haven't set the boundaries that I need to prevent that from happening.
Yeah, it's a great example of working on your emotional boundaries. And to me, this comes back to creating what I call your ideal day scenario. Mm. Really looking at these different pillars of productivity and say, which are the ones that I need to focus on? Where do I need to build in those renewal rituals that we talked about last time? Where do I need to build in some clear boundaries around time so that I'm making time to do the emotional work? Because we've talked about this, I'm sure, before, and if we haven't, we probably should have, about we really believe that building a business is a journey of personal growth. It is, especially for those of you that are building small solo businesses where it's just you or a small team, and there is so much to do, and you're juggling all these different hats, and you have to manage your energy, but you also have to manage your thoughts.
Juggling balls, wearing hats.
Oh, sorry. Let me mix my metaphors. How do you know people are juggling hats?
Yeah, that's
true. I meant juggling balls or wearing all the hats or all of that, right? So, but this is a great example of an emotional boundary where you're putting boundaries around the stress and the worry that happens when you're a business owner. And the way to have clear boundaries around that is to have those renewal rituals in place and to manage your energy.
Yeah. And without them, it will eat you alive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is also why we talk about your big why and how important it is to be really clear about why you're doing what you're doing. What's the big picture end result or the change that you want to create in the world? Because that's what keeps you motivated and going, even when the going gets tough. And in every business, the going gets tough. It's never a smooth sail. It's not a clear ascension path to the pinnacle of the mountain. It's, you know, a crazy winding road with lots of potholes, right? So,
yeah,
you're laughing.
No, I like that.
It is. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about driving like from Palo Alto across to Half Moon Bay through the Santa Cruz Mountains,
yeah.
Crazy winding roads in there. That's what it feels like. You're going up and down and around.
Yeah.
That's building business. And if you don't have clear boundaries, you're going to get burnout, overwhelmed, stressed out, end up with some kind of autoimmune. We see that happen a lot with people that end up being so fatigued emotionally and physically, and boundaries is an essential part of staying physically, mentally, and emotionally strong in your business.
Great stuff. So for our next episode, we're going to transition from boundaries to support. And we'll be discussing support and how asking for support is essential to increasing productivity and reducing burnout.
Yep.
Good stuff.
It's going to be good stuff. So hopefully you got some good takeaways from some tips and strategies that when you have clear boundaries in place, you will find yourself with so much more time and so much more clarity around the tasks that need to be get done. Because our definition of productivity is never about doing more. It's about doing the right things better. It's about quality of output over quantity of output. And boundaries is an essential way to get you there.
And if you're just joining us on your productivity path, take our quiz, our unique productivity style quiz. It's at pathtoprofitacademy.com/UPS quiz. And we'll have that in the show notes, link to it. Quick quiz, just take you a few minutes and you'll get some neat resources at the end of that. And we have an upcoming thing that you're going to be able to buy that's even Woo-hoo! Better.
Yes, our productivity blueprint. It's coming. That's one of my Google Keep notes.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll be cool. But so this was fun. I'm enjoying these pillars of productivity. I hope you guys are too. And we're not quite halfway through. We're a third of the way through.
Yep, a third of the way through.
Cool stuff.
And we'll see you next time, episode 104, talking about support. And we'd love some iTunes comments. Tell us which pillar is resonating most with you.
Thanks for listening to Structure and Flow, the productivity podcast for creative entrepreneurs. To find out more about this episode and others, go to pathtoprofitacademy.com and click on the podcast link.